Good morning. I'm Ann Holiday along with Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob, and welcome back.
Oh, thanks. Good morning, Ann.
We have tons of stuff to talk about today. But first of all, I want people to know that we have a new email address. If you have a question for Bob and don't want to talk on the air or you want to send a picture, you can email it to garden@wesb.com like Larry did.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Larry. Larry having a little problem with a shrub is browning in one of his bushes that he started 2 years ago. And he wondered if it was dying, and none of his other bushes are doing this. So can I do anything to help it recover? And no, it's not necessarily dying, Larry. But I did see the picture you sent, and boy, we really appreciate the picture. You may be trimming it a little too what we call hard, and you may be trimming it at the wrong time. If you trim, this is it's an evergreen juniper, by the way. And if you trim them, any evergreen, in the heat of the summer, you're going to expose some of those inside leaves or needles to sun that they hadn't had before.
Oh.
So they get sunburned and turn brown. Now, that's most commonly, that's what I see has happened to junipers or other evergreens. So that if you're going to prune them, try to prune them early spring, late fall, and then you won't have that browning. Now, you already have it, and it's kind of ugly, but if you just take a rake in there, Larry, and comb through the shrub, you'll knock a lot of that brown out. And if you really want to, you can go in there with your hand and kind of brush it, and makes a lot of those brown needles fall to the ground, and it won't be so ugly. And you'll let a little light in there that will help spur on new growth to fill in there. Now, it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. It may take the whole season here. But get rid of that brown and let that sunlight in, and you should start to see some greening in there.
Okay.
So it's not lost, but try not to do the pruning, you know, in July and August. That's a hard time for evergreens. You can do a lot of other trees and shrubs in July and August, but try to stay away from them evergreens, especially if you're taking off or pruning hard, taking off a lot of material and exposing those inside leaves or needles to sun where they've really been shaded all season.
So okay.
Don't sunburn your plant.
All right. I'm sure Larry is very happy to hear that his plant is going to be okay.
It's going to be fine. Yeah.
Okay. So if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372-368-WESB. Or you can send an email to garden@wesb.com, and I think we have a caller right now. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
I do, and I just sent a picture, too.
Okay.
I have a lavender plant, bush, I'm not sure what you call it, grows beside the house. And every spring, it looks like it's dead. But eventually, little green shoots come on the same kind of plant. Should I cut back that dead stuff in the fall? Or in the spring, and just let the green stuff grow? It sort of is intermixed with the brown dead leaves. It's not a very attractive plant, but it grows well.
Yeah, for that particular plant, I would wait till spring to cut it back. You should cut back all that dead, but wait till spring. If you cut it back early fall, you're exposing that plant to the winter winds and cold. That dead part that's still there in the winter is protecting the rest of the plant from those winter winds and cold. So wait till spring to cut it back. It shouldn't die. It should resprout. Lavender is a perennial, so it just typically does that, dies back every year. But with that particular one, you know, leave that dead through the winter. Don't cut it back yet or then. You can cut it back now, though. Yeah, cut it back now.
And that's correct. Yeah, it just, should I prop it up? I mean, it just sort of lays all over.
No, you
shouldn't. Put up a trellis of some sort or just?
No, you shouldn't have to do that either. After you cut that dead back, it ought to straighten right up and start growing right.
Okay, it looks like a bad hair day over there.
Does it? How long have you had?
Which way?
How long have you had the plant?
Oh, 5-6 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you've never had to prop it up before, have you?
No, I never have, but it never really looks particularly great either.
Okay.
It just sort of lays there all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. If you do some trimming now, then all the new sprouts that start shooting up will come up straight and
great.
Like they're supposed to.
All right, I'll try it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Sure, bye-bye.
Okay, and we have another caller, and then we will go back to email. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do. My daffodils, I got clumps of green leaves, but no flowers. So what do I need to do to get blooms next year?
Okay, let me ask you, how long have they been there?
Quite a while.
Years, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so they've probably are getting overcrowded, and that will happen. The daffodils, tulips, any of those bulbs, they get real crowded, and then they just run out of enough nutrients and water to produce the flower.
Okay.
So it may be time to dig them up and separate them and then replant them. So they'll all have nice, new, fresh soil. You can even, after you dig them up, you know, put in some compost and peat moss and some fresh soil. So they'll all, have all new ground to feed off of. And then they'll start blooming again.
Now, when should I do that?
You can do that now if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. And if you have a question for Bob, give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com like Jody did.
Yeah, and oh.
She wants to know, her bushes kind of look like Larry's
yeah,
did.
Yeah, and it's the same kind as the juniper. Yep, I'm seeing.
And she wants to know pretty much what Larry did. Okay. Is it dead or can she save it?
Boy, hers is pretty rough shape. But I would still try to trim out all that brown in there. First, I would go in with the rake and really give it a good vigorous brushing to try and remove as much of that brown as possible. You'll be surprised a lot of it will drop right off. And then I would go in there and start some pruning. Boy, it looks like it may be close to the road or near an area where you add a lot of salt. During a winter, because it does look a lot like salt burn, it's mostly on the tips of the plant, the outermost part of the plant that's browned up. So that's looking like salt burn or wind burn. But in her case, what I'm seeing, it still can be saved. So brush it, get all the brown out you can, then trim it back to where you see good needles. And it should start regrowing because that brown, if you leave it in there, just like Larry's, it's going to shade out the rest of the plant. And, of course, it won't get enough sun, so the brown will continue. So the sooner you get in there and get rid of that brown by trimming back, the sooner it can start to regrow.
Okay.
Junipers are extremely tough plants, and they can withstand just about anything. So it's well worth saving. Again, just try to clean it up, trim it out, and you should have a nice shrub by the end of the year again.
All righty. Good news for Jody. And Jody also says she's glad you're back.
I think thanks.
We're all glad that you're back. So if you have a question for Bob, you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com and send a picture if you'd like. Or you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB. So, Bob.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Oh, hi.
And you brought some some flowers with
some
you
show
today.
And tell here. One thing I wanted to talk about today is symbolism in your garden. Now, I did that every year out at Pitt, and I enjoyed it, and a lot of other people enjoyed it, and I used every kind of symbolism I could think of, except one, really. Well, just about. I use this one too a little bit, but not enough. Everyone that's listening has probably been affected by one thing or another, you know, heart disease or Alzheimer's or hunger or lung cancer, something like that. And now I want to explain to you how you can show that you're thinking about that or you support that. And you can use it in a bed or just a single pot, whatever you want to do. So I'll start out with heart disease. I'd like to see, and I'm going to do some of this at home too, like this red geranium. I could plant a whole pot with just red geraniums and put it on your front porch, and possibly someone will stop at your house and say, geez, you know, why'd you plant all red geraniums? Why didn't you plant a white petunia in there? Said, because that's my way of supporting heart disease, and I really wanted to show that I support heart disease by planting all red. Another one would be Alzheimer's. A lot of people have been affected with that. So maybe plant a bed or an area or a pot with all purple.
It's still on.
Oh, okay.
We just can't see it.
Okay. And showing your support for that. And every time you look at it, you'll think about that. You know, not all of us can give money to these causes all the time, but we can still make other people aware that we do support those groups. Breast cancer. We could plant, again, geranium. I like geraniums for a lot of reasons. Geraniums are great plants. With this one, not only are you supporting breast cancer, but you'll be supporting grandma, too. Grandma always, one of her favorite plants was geranium. So you'll be really thinking about her every time you go out there to pick off the dead blossoms or water or fertilize your geranium. And again, maybe someone will say, geez, you know, why'd you do all just pink geraniums in there? And you can say, well, I'm supporting breast cancer and I want everybody to know it.
And that one's so pretty, too.
It sure is, yeah. So another one, child abuse. And now that's going to be the color blue. Now, blue is extremely difficult to come by in the flower industry. So we have to kind of cheat a little bit, you know, and go with that. Most of us would call that purple, but purple is just blue and red mixed together. So it is blue, but there are some blues. By the way, those were geraniums. This is called Million Bells or Calibacoa. That's a very, very popular plant. A lot of people like to just call them miniature petunias because that's what they look like.
Okay.
Another one, Ageratum, or my grandma would always call them Ageratum. And that's a nice blue one, real common plant. So you could use that one for the child abuse. Suicide awareness. We could plant a whole plant with yellow. And now a real common one would be marigolds, but this one is lantana. I should explain a little bit more about some of these plants. This will bloom all season long. All of these will bloom all season long. This one really loves a hot place, real sunny, hot place. So if you've got that kind of area, lantana, the yellow lantana, will do real well for you. And they get quite large, too.
Okay.
Another one, hunger awareness. I'm sure a lot of people think about that all the time, too. So with that, I'd want to plant a whole pot or a big section of bed or an area with orange. And that will show my support for hunger awareness. Lung cancer, that's going to be white. I know a lot of people, for some reason, don't like white. I love white.
Me too.
White is probably one of the most recommended colors for a nighttime garden because it shows up very well at night. I could go on and on about white, but to show your support for lung cancer, plant, these are petunias, by the way.
And they're beautiful.
They sure are, yes. And everyone can grow a petunia. They're so forgiving, you know. If you forget to water them and they wilt a little bit, you just water them and they come right back and start blooming well. They bloom the whole season, right up to a couple frost even. So a nice pot or a bed of white for lung cancer.
Okay.
A couple more here. Multiple myeloma. That we'd want to do a maroon. Bob, you didn't really get a maroon. This will be my closest to a maroon. And you can use your imagination. You don't have to be exact, you know, because a lot of the plants don't flower exactly the color we want, especially like the blue. So plant a whole pot of that, and we would be supporting that. And, of course, last but not least, would be supporting our troops or just America all together with a red and a white and a blue, just to show your support for your country and the troops. So that's a good one.
Red, white, and blue gardens are always so pretty.
They are, too, yeah. And it's easy to come by. And, again, use your imagination with the blue, because you really can't find it's very difficult to find true blue. So I always used something like that. I know it's purple, but it's as close to blue as I can get, and it'll really look nice.
If you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, or you can send an email to garden@WESB.com. Even send a picture if you have one.
Yeah, those are really handy.
Yeah, because, it's way easier to look at a picture than to have people try and describe what the problem is.
It sure is, yeah.
So, and we had just talked about symbolism in gardening, and so as long as people are getting ready to think about that, they should be thinking about getting ready for spring.
Yep, but I want to
stress
that just one more time.
Okay.
Because I think it's important, you know, and I did this a lot out at Pitt, because I just can't plant a bunch of flowers because they're real pretty, you know, red ones and white ones and blue ones all together just because they're pretty. There should be more of a reason. So I always tried to do symbolism. And, you know, by doing that, you're always making it look pretty anyhow. So try to think about that this year when you're planting your pots or your beds. Try to put a little symbolism in. You don't have to use the ones that I used. Maybe something that's important to you in another way you can do, too.
One year, I remember, was one of your last years at Pitt that you did music.
Yeah,
which
I did.
That was one of your best ever, I think.
That was one of them. For me, too, it was, I just enjoyed doing that. I symbolized rock and roll, and, of course, rock and roll from my area. So I did a bed for the Beatles and, of course, the Rolling Stones and so on. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that, symbolized them all, made it fun for me planting all those plants. And I think a lot of people took notice, too, and asked questions.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what a great way to, like, doing the symbolism is a great way to have people just talk about gardening and maybe get somebody else interested in it, too.
Exactly, yeah. Because there's more reason than just planting a bunch of pretty flowers because they look good.
Right.
There should be. So try that. But we got spring cleanup to do. And one of the first things, of course, we got to do is, because around here we got a lot of oak and beech, and they drop their leaves all winter long. And so we got to get those cleaned out of our shrubs and out of our lawn, you know, so we can let the sunlight in there so those plants can start to grow again. Real important to get them out of the shrubs, too, especially those evergreens. Like we've seen a lot of that brown. Sometimes that can just be caused by a lot of those fall leaves laying in that shrub all winter long. It blocked out the sunlight. I know we say our lawns, too, they go dormant in the winter, so it shouldn't hurt them. No, they don't go dormant in the winter. We call it dormant, but it's not really. They're still photosynthesizing, growing. They're still absorbing water from the ground when they can, when it's not frozen. A real good case for that is I like to look at rhododendrons in the winter. When we get a real, real cold streak, all the leaves droop straight down towards the ground because the ground is frozen and they can't absorb water, even though they want to and they need to. But as soon as the ground thaws a little bit, the leaves will perk right up and they can start doing their thing again. So don't think of dormancy as total sleep, because they're not totally asleep. So don't let all those leaves build up in there and blocking out the sunlight, because they're still photosynthesizing during the winter and even growing a little bit. Your lawn will even grow a little bit in the winter. So get those leaves off there as soon as you can, so the sun can get in there. And also, so if there's any buildup of gases, and we all have that in our yards and our shrubs, that can release those CO2 gases. The plants don't like them. Oxygen can get in there. All plants need oxygen, and you'll be helping them out a lot. And it also gives you a chance to really inspect your yard. You know, is there a unusually wet spot here, or is it dry here? Is there too much moss growing? All sorts of things that you can really look over and try to make a plan on what you're going to tackle this year, how you can improve it. And you can always improve. Another thing, and geez, it was in my mind for a second and then it left. trim out some of the dead in some of the shrubs. The sooner we get that deadwood out, the better. The deadwood in a shrub or a tree can start to get a fungal or bacterial disease, a lot of different problems. And, of course, gravity is going to continue to pull it on down to the main stem or even into the root. So the sooner we get it out of there, the healthier the plant will be. Now's the time, if you don't see any bud swelling on 90% of your shrubs. Some of them are real late, like the hydrangeas usually leaf out pretty late, and the hibiscus plants are real late. So give them a little more time. But most of our shrubs, you know, we can see the bud swelling. So it's time to get in there, look it over, and if you see a branch where there's no life visible, then it's time to trim it out.
Okay.
And protect the rest of the plant.
All right. If you have a question for Bob about anything he's talked about today or anything new that you need to talk about, give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, or you can send an email to garden@wesb.com.
Another thing you may want to look at, too, not to do with plants, but still your landscape, the hardscape, the decks and patios, and fences and so on, because this is going on at my house. Where decks and patios and all that don't last forever, you know. So maybe it's time to really look it over. Maybe your wooden deck is starting to rot a little bit. And for a lot of reasons, for, you know, just looks or safety purposes, maybe it's time to think about replacing a board or two, or like at my house, all of them.
Oh, no.
The whole deck. But those things happen, you know, and be aware that, you know, a lot of things just don't last forever, you know, just like inside your house. Treat the outside just like you do the inside. You can't leave your kitchen for 40 or 50 years. Eventually, you got to update a little bit, you know, even your any room in your house. And that goes for the yard, too. Sometimes you gotta bite the bullet and update it. And if you can't do it yourself, there's a lot of good professionals out there. Mm-hmm. That can help you out. So inspect them real well and make that decision. You know, is it time to do it now? Of course, you'll always increase your property by doing those fixing up things too. Getting increased your property by quite a bit. And that can be important too for a lot of us. We want to keep our property up so that if we ever have to sell or if we ever want to sell, you know, we'll get the most out of it that we possibly can. And in the meantime, it's just going to look good. And that takes away a lot of stress. I'm thinking about this because my wife's going through this.
Uh-oh.
Ways to get rid of stress. You know, if something like the brown shrubs is bothering you, you know, that's really stress. And so to get rid of that stress, do something about it. Go out there with a rake, get all those brown needles out of there, and if you have to, get your pruner and trim out some of the brown. And it's going to relieve some stress. You're going to be happier, and the plant is going to be a whole lot healthier, and it's going to reward you by new growth and start to look good, too. So a way to alleviate stress is go over your yard. Every day you come to it after work, or you leave it in the morning, that's the first and last thing you're going to see every day. So Pay attention to it and do something about it.
All right. And that gets rid of negative energy for you and the plant.
That's right. Yeah.
And something we learned at the garden symposium last month was Sally Cunningham, gardening expert from Buffalo, was talking about how if you keep your garden and your yard nice, that it kind of spreads to other people and
it sure
keeps
does.
Bad elements out.
That's right, exactly. And one of the cases she talked about was really kind of thrilling to hear. That it was a bad street up in Buffalo. I can't remember the exact name of the street. Where it was a lot of drugs and crime and so on, but one guy started to dress up his house with a garden. And sooner or later, over the years, every single yard there got dressed up in beautiful gardens. There's no longer crime or drug bins there. They're now on the garden tour. It's matter of fact, that's the biggest garden tour on earth up in Buffalo. I think there was 4,000 houses or 400 houses. I can't remember.
A lot
of houses, yeah. You can't tour them all in one day, but you can take a... an area year after year and tour it, and you'll see some amazing gardens and probably get some great ideas. They like a lot of structure up there.
They do.
A lot of different, you know, statues and different structures in their yards. They're pretty doggone neat.
A lot of upcycling, like using old bicycles and stuff to decorate with, old TVs and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and boy, they all looked great.
They were beautiful.
A lot of imagination up there.
Yeah, so that's now on my bucket list to go to the Buffalo Garden Tours.
Yeah. So in landscaping, you know, that brings me to, it doesn't have to be all about the plants. You know, there are a lot of neat things, you know, decks, patios, old bicycle, an old rowboat, all kinds of different things you can put in your yard. Bird houses, all different kind of bird houses. I'm trying to think of all the things. Everything you can think of they were using up there.
And it just comes down to pretty much putting your own personality into it.
Yeah, I think it is.
So, unbelievably enough, we are almost out of time, but I do want to mention one thing. Today is the downtown Bradford cleanup, and going along with that, that goes from 9 to noon, and register in Veterans Square for that if you want to help clean up downtown. But after that, at 1 o'clock, two groups, Manlyhood and Iron Mill, are getting together to clean up the community garden on Bank Street. And at one time, that was just beautiful, a beautiful community garden. They want to bring it back. It's for the community, so they're hoping that the community will help them do it. So be on Bank Street at 1 o'clock this afternoon to help them clean it up.
Man, and I say bless those guys for doing that. And I wish I would have known about it a little while ago. I got plans for today. They're important. I'd be right there with them for sure. But way to go, guys.
I'm sure they will need you for other stuff. So you guys heard it here.
Well, you can call on me anytime you want.
Okay. So we will be here next week. And in the meantime, if you have a question for Bob, send us an email at garden@wesb.com. Thanks, Bob. We'll see you next week.
Okay.